Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about the U.S. Department of Justice looking a little bit more closely into short sellers. We also have what seems to be a pretty significant update on a lithium contract for Tesla. Got some rumors in China, some interesting videos from Giga Texas, news on adaptive headlights, somewhat shocking specs on GM's EV Hummer, and a few other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, the markets did have a pretty nice recovery in the afternoon, but ended up being a pretty boring low-volume day. Tesla up 0.1% to 923.39. The NASDAQ down 0.1%. So not a whole lot to say here in the afternoon. Of course, the Federal Open Market Committee meeting minutes did come out. Remember, those are on a delayed release, so these are from the meeting 3 weeks back. But the market likes to keep an eye on that and obviously reacted relatively positively to that release today. I think Bloomberg had a quote that captured the sentiment well. It said, quote, "With no explicit discussion of a date to begin balance sheet runoff or of the idea of a 50 basis point hike in March, the minutes are on the less hawkish side of expectations," said Ian Shepherdson, chief economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics. "But they aren't the last word on anything, given the worse than expected inflation and wages data released since that meeting," end quote. Overall, I would say reading through the note, sort of the too long didn't read version would be that economic activity seems to look positive to the Fed, and obviously inflation continues to look high, so I didn't see anything in there that would have reduced the expectation for rate increases or the timing for them. But I think those expectations are already pretty high, and I think the reaction to this shows that. All right, first up today, I wanted to talk about something that I have mentioned before, but we've got a new update on this, and this is the Department of Justice in the United States looking into short sellers for possibly engaging in illegal trading practices. Now, this is obviously quite Tesla-related, because for a long period of time there, as we talked about on many occasions, the short interest in Tesla was extremely high, 40-50%. Tens of billions of dollars, and that of course has increased as Tesla's market cap has grown. The ratio is down quite a bit, but Tesla was one of the most heavily targeted companies for short sellers, and that seems to be the period of time that the Department of Justice seems to be kind of focused in on. So the Wall Street Journal reporting this morning that, quote, "Federal prosecutors are investigating whether short sellers conspired to drive down stock prices by sharing damaging research reports ahead of time and engaging in illegal trading tactics people familiar with the matter said," end quote. They also say that the Department of Justice has seized hardware trading records and private communications in an effort to prove a wide-ranging conspiracy among these investors. The article mentions a couple of people, specifically Carson Block of Muddy Waters. He was reportedly served a search warrant by the FBI in October. This is a firm that had been vocally short Tesla. And then Andrew Left of Citron Research. They've also had a tumultuous history with Tesla, going short Tesla, suing Tesla, going long Tesla, back to short. Anyway, had computers seized as well. And that was previously reported by Bloomberg, and that's why we had mentioned this topic before, but we just have more information now. It's very interesting to hear about these investigations because this is not something that you kind of look back on with hindsight and say, oh, like, kind of makes sense. This is something that, as it was happening, we in the Tesla community were talking about. I did a very lengthy interview about this exact subject back in July of 2018, in which we discussed these exact same concepts and how they had been used in the past by short sellers, particularly in the case of Fairfax Financial, if any of you remember that episode. It's fascinating and sometimes very shady. I'll link to that episode, and then I'd also recommend The Divide by Matt Taibbi, which a lot of that conversation was built off of. I think sometimes there's a criticism of the Tesla community of claiming everything is a conspiracy or manipulation, and I would agree that sometimes that does go too far, but at the same time, this stuff does happen. And where else would it be more likely to happen than a company that is disrupting such powerful industries like Tesla is? Anyway, point being, whether this ends up being directly linked to Tesla or not, just good to see some of these things being looked into. All right, next up, we've got a pretty interesting update in the supply chain. This is a lithium contract that has been announced by Australia's Liontown Resources. They said today that they have signed a 5-year contract with Tesla to supply lithium spodumene concentrate. And the amount is significant. 100,000 dry metric tons in the first year, 2024, increasing to 150,000 dry metric tons per year after that. Now, I'm definitely not an expert here. I don't know how much, if any, material might be lost during processing to get into that final battery product. But what I have read, and this is a little bit dated, it references a 70 kilowatt hour Model S pack. Apparently, there were 63 kilograms of lithium in that pack. Obviously, that mix is going to change and that number is going to change over time. But if we assume for then an 85 kilowatt hour pack, maybe 75 kilograms of lithium, this contract would be to supply 100 to 150 million kilograms of lithium concentrate. If all of that does make it into a finished battery, which again, I'm not sure on, that would be just over 1.3 million vehicles worth in the first year, and then 2 million per year after that. That is a big contract. Obviously not enough to fulfill all of Tesla's needs, but still, one of the biggest contracts that we have reported on in terms of the vehicle supply that it would enable. Now, obviously, that doesn't factor in Tesla Energy. That would need to be considered as well, but just using the vehicle supply as a proxy for how sizable this is. All right, next up, we've got a couple of quick Gigafactory updates. The first one here, this is just a rumor out of China, so don't put a lot of stock in this, but Ray for Tesla was tweeting about how there had been a lot of rumors lately on a second Gigafactory in China. I've seen some of those myself. We've talked a little bit about them as well. Anyway, somebody here replying saying, quote, "Ray, my company supports facilities like Tesla's. It's our job to follow the projects early. My China team told me last night they are following a new Tesla project in Liaoning province. They said Tesla is waiting for government approval. I believe it's likely maybe for the compact," end quote. Ray replied that that was already a rumor denied by Tesla China last week. Adam B., the original poster, replying that this is intel from the ground as of 12 hours ago from Liaoning province sales associates. Conclude what you will, but they're paid to be right. Ray then acknowledging that maybe this is something new. So again, take it with a grain of salt. We're not going to spend much time on it, but we'll try to keep a little bit of track of the rumors as obviously Tesla expected to pick locations for new factories this year. All right, next we've got a small update on Giga Texas. There's been an employee there, probably against better judgment, posting some shots on Snapchat from inside the factory. Unfortunately, some of the shakiest video that I've ever seen. But in this video, you can see some of the drive units, tires, various other things, and there is a shot of, I don't know, maybe 20 or so completed Model Y vehicles. So we're just starting to see more and more stuff like this, just like the vehicles we saw on the car carrier. Now we've got some vehicles in the factory. Definitely things are heating up there for Texas. It just kind of feels similar to how things felt for Giga Shanghai right before deliveries started there. All right, next we've got a nice update from NHTSA, kind of a change from the most recent activity, but we've got news here from NHTSA that they have approved and issued a final rule allowing automakers to install adaptive driving beam headlights on new vehicles. As the name implies, that would allow vehicles to project more light into areas that have less illumination or reduce it where it is more. Should be a win-win, and we've already seen Tesla demonstrating some of their adaptive lighting capabilities at the GigaFest at Giga Berlin. So it should be a nice update. NHTSA says that this is ahead of schedule by more than a year and a half, I guess, as this was a requirement in the bipartisan infrastructure law. Still, good to see it done early. Maybe now they can take a look at removing side view mirrors. And I guess to be clear on that, they are looking at that. As we talked about before, they were seeking public comment. That was the last that I had heard on that piece. All right, next we've got a quick update on brand strength. So each quarter, Cox Automotive and KBB publish a brand watch, looking at consideration by brand for different vehicles, different automakers by segment. And I don't really know much of the history. I know we have talked about this at one point, but here for Q4, they note that Tesla has jumped up 3% in brand consideration in the luxury segment where they put Tesla. That puts Tesla at 18%, which I was surprised wasn't higher. But the two biggest increasing quarter over quarter consideration vehicles were the Model 3 and the Model Y, both above 40% higher than previous. So not the clearest of metrics here, but that put the Model 3 and the Model Y as the top two vehicles in that segment. So always nice to see that. Unsurprisingly, they were also the top two pure battery electric vehicles. They just grouped it all by electrified vehicles and the RAV4 hybrid came in ahead, but obviously not a fully electric vehicle. The next ranking fully electric vehicle is the Mustang Mach-E. All right, next up today, I just wanted to again revisit the FSD beta CNBC stuff from yesterday. I don't have a ton more to share on this, but it seemed to continue to even get more attention today. The street ended up asking me today for some comments on that video and just what I thought of FSD in general. And I'm always happy to try to provide some context. So I did that, wanted to share that here. I told them about the safety score, how that's required to get FSD beta access, and then said, any customer that has gone through the process of achieving a high safety score, requesting the beta, acknowledging its limitations, absolutely understands that this is currently a driving assistance feature. Some people will play dumb for attention, not naming any names there, but 60,000 users have accumulated millions of miles of driving on FSD beta, and there have been no crashes. While disengagements are to be expected during this beta phase, I personally had my car drive me over 150 miles through a mix of highway and city driving without a single input from me. I noted that automotive accidents are a huge cause of death in the United States every year, and really our only solution to that is autonomy. So I said we should not let those who wish to intentionally misrepresent the current performance limitations as safety risks to stop us from making progress on such a dire issue. Finally, there is absolutely no data to support the idea that FSD beta is reducing safety on the roads today. So I know I didn't have many comments yesterday and didn't really see any reason that I should have to have comments, but there they are, and hopefully that'll help someone that is a little bit less familiar to gain a little bit better of an understanding of what's actually going on with FSD beta. All right, moving on, next we've got an update on the Hummer EV. Car and Driver tracked down an EPA test document, and it does show that the truck version of the Hummer EV will have a range of 329 miles. That's It's a fine range, but to do that, apparently the usable energy capacity in the battery is 212.7 kilowatt hours. I couldn't find that particular number in the EPA test document. Sometimes those are expressing kilowatt hours in terms of energy pulled from the wall, so it doesn't necessarily match the battery capacity. But reading through the article, it seems like Car and Driver understands that, so I think pretty high confidence in that being accurate. And again, they note that as usable battery capacity. Later on, they note that they believe the total battery capacity is 246.8 kilowatt hours. That's like three long range Model Ys. Car and Driver says that the battery alone weighs about 2,900 pounds, almost as much as a Civic, and the total Hummer is over 9,000 pounds. The old ICE Hummers were 6,500 to 7,000, so this is an extremely, extremely heavy vehicle and obviously needs a ton of battery capacity to carry that weight, which is just a problem that builds on itself. We better not hear GM complaining about battery supply if this is how they're using it. All right, last item for today, as I had mentioned earlier, Herbert Diess did do an Ask Me Anything on Reddit today. Nothing too crazy in there. He did have a couple of comments on autonomy, give some insight into Volkswagen's plans there. And in a couple of comments, he said that for level 3 driving, you need the redundancy that LiDAR technology provides. So Diess often in agreement with Elon Musk, but apparently not in this case. A couple of other comments I found interesting. Somebody asked, saying that they liked Volkswagen designs a lot, and if there would be an electric pickup truck, like the Ford F-150 Lightning, for the USA. Diess replied, good idea. So Volkswagen does actually make a pickup truck. It's called the Amarok. It doesn't actually get sold in the United States. Currently, they're looking to bring it here, it seems, from some trademarking activity. Maybe that ends up being an EV, but kind of seems like they've got some plans for that from this comment. And then Diess was also asked about limos, and he said, definitely, we are working on premium electric limousines. Watch Audi and Bentley. That I would really like to see. I mean, probably not a space that Tesla is thinking too much about, and a Bentley EV limo would be pretty cool. So that is where we'll leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, February 17th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.